Welcome to the Jordan Family Podcast, where we talk all things Jordan, past, present, and future. So sit back, turn your volume up, and get ready to join us on the Jordan Family Podcast. This podcast will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. This is episode 1. We are so happy you're tuning in. I'm your host, Danny Bonecutter, along with my co-host, Keith Durst. Keith, we have finally hit the record button to kick this podcast about our Jordan clan off.
Yes, it's great to finally get this thing rolling. We've talked about it, and well, it's finally here. You know, we want this to be fun, we want it to be informative, and we want our listeners to just completely enjoy this. I'm sure as we navigate through this endeavor, we will learn and hear things that we didn't know about, and hopefully the listener will find it enjoyable and also give a deeper look into our family. So where are you going to lead with, Danny?
Well, Keith, we can't have a podcast about the Jordans without starting with our grandparents, Everett and Carrie Jordan.
That's very true. Just hearing their names kind of brings about very, very fond memories of our childhood. I mean, we had such great childhood memories. One thing I can think of just right off the bat is Sundays. Every Sunday was almost like a family reunion because we would go to church, come home from church, change clothes, and then we'd go to Grandma and Grandpa's. And like I've talked with you before, it's been kind of one of those things where just different memories flash back. And I can remember, you know, pulling into the driveway down at Grandma and Grandpa's, and you never were real sure who was going to be there. I mean, there would be several of our cousins from out of town almost every week. And you could pull in and you might see Johnny Ray up in the tree, like almost at the very top of the tree, at laughing like a fool and waving at everybody as they came in. Or you might have Susan and Robin there on the porch, or you didn't know who was going to be there.
That was always the exciting part about it, was just like I said, just not knowing what we was going to get into that day, because we always had something going on.
Exactly. You did it, you know, we had a little bit of everything. That I mean, Sunday we always ate, and everybody always enjoyed that. And then we would just get together and play. And I mean,
whew. I think we took it always for granted too. Not looking, you know, during them days, we never thought that would ever end.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, how many baseball games did we have in that little front yard? The yard was pretty small, and had them big maple trees that we used for bases most of the time. But I said, how many baseball games do you think we actually played?
Right. We played a ton, and then we played football as well, and we had so much fun down there.
I remember Grandpa, like I said, he loved baseball, and he would always be out there in the yard watching us play and playing with us, and it was always a treat. And like I said, he wasn't no young man back when we was kids.
No, I mean, I can specifically remember him being in his middle to late 80s, being out there and playing catch with us. And I mean, he still had a good arm on him.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you say that he said he was used to be a pretty good baseball player back in his day?
Yeah. When he was younger, he used to play a lot of baseball. And he was telling me, I can remember him telling me that he liked to play, he usually plays second base or shortstop, and that there would be traveling teams that would come through and would play him. And, you know, he said that some of those traveling teams wanted him to go with them and play with them, but he had obligations, you know, family and everything, so he couldn't.
Yeah, he had a few kids to take care of, probably. But I remember him going out getting coal out of the old coal pile. And what's set in the middle of his living room floor?
Mm-hmm.
The old coal stove that everybody would cuddle around. That had to be the hottest heat.
Oh, my word.
That we've ever experienced in our life. But it was so comforting, I guess, to be there around that old coal stove.
Yeah, it was dirty. The coal was, I can remember Grandma always complaining about how she had to clean up around it. So
oh,
much.
It had to be. It had to be a full-time job just to clean up after the coal. I remember his big candy jars he always had, too. He'd always bring us candy.
Mm-hmm.
And let us pick from it. And the old beehive sitting up on top of the hill or beside the house or on that little hillside, he'd always go out and I'd harass him enough where he'd go out and finally get inside the bees and get me some fresh honey.
Yeah, I can remember when he finally gave the bees up, he gave them to Dad.
Oh, is that where they went to? I did not realize that.
Dad went down there, and, I don't think at that point, I think I'd seen Dad go up to the handful. He had a few, and I think I'd seen him go up there and handle those, mess with those, but I don't think I had quite experienced the all it took and all the work that went into moving a hive.
Oh, I can't guarantee it.
Oh.
And somebody's going to get stung. Somebody's going to get stung along that trip. I guarantee it.
Yeah. I can hear Dad getting all, all the garb on and the smoker and going up there and getting them and moving them to behind our house. And had them for a long time. I mean, I can remember we had honey for I don't know how long after that. That was just wonderful, But
I remember Grandpa being a good gardener too. He always had that little garden that ran out that little field beside the house. And
mm-hmm.
He had some of the best food to go out there and get, and he'd got to pick us tomatoes. And I think you've got a little story about him in the garden, I think.
Yeah, I was a huge strawberry aficionado, and I loved the strawberries even when I was extremely little. And I can remember being very small. I mean, I can remember at the oldest, probably five, and him taking me over there and me helping him pick strawberries. And I can remember Mom and Grandma saying for me not to eat very many of them. And Grandpa, it was almost every time during the summer that I was there through the week, he would, you want to help me pick some strawberries? And I would, of course. And he would take me over there. And the first few rows, we would have our backs, or we'd be facing the house. And then after, I guess he thought that they maybe if they were watching, they would have gotten bored with it. We would turn our backs to the house, and that's when he would tell me that we could go ahead and I could have some strawberries. And I mean, I would just annihilate the strawberries.
I can picture that.
I can't to this day. I'll get some strawberries and eat them, and I still think of Grandpa
Take you back in those times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Grandpa, I think with where I played music, I always remember him having his harmonica and whistling around, and the Grandma singing, always singing some kind of gospel song about every Sunday, and I'd take my guitar or banjo out, and we'd sit around playing in the living room, but Grandpa would always bring that harmonica out and play a couple songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you remember that, too.
I remember that, and I remember his whistling. I mean, to me, he was an expert whistler. And I mean, he could whistle just about any tune that you can say to
him. Oh, yeah, I've heard him whistle those old fiddle tunes and gospel tunes.
The one that always sticks out to me is the Rosewood Casket. I can just vividly hear him whistling that, and that's the one that really sticks out to me.
Yeah, it could be our Irish roots that we'll get to maybe later in some of our later episodes. I think that's where all of our music came from. And That's the lead into our podcast, is the Irish music. It's kind of in memory of our DNA pointing towards the Irish roots, and we'll definitely talk about that a little bit later in a couple of later podcasts. So, just to kind of finish up about our early memories, when we'd leave on Sundays, where would Grandpa mostly be sitting, and what would he do? So if you remember this.
Oh, yeah. He loved to sit on the swing at the end of the porch. And, I mean, he'd swing, and he would wave, and he would wave with both arms, his feet. I mean, he would just, he would make all kinds of gyrations as he waved.
Yeah, I used to love it. I remember as we'd pull out, I'd get in the back. Of course, we didn't have seat belts probably in our cars then, but I'd lean up against that back glass, and as far as we could drive out Crab Creek and I could see him, he'd still be waving.
Right, exactly. I mean, riding the school bus by, he would do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I know people I work with or people that I meet, and I tell them who my grandparents was, and they said, they wasn't that guy you sit on the front porch and wave at everybody that goes by. And I said, yep, that was Grandpa.
Yep.
But he was always always cutting up and doing something to make us laugh.
Mm-hmm. And he would, I think I told you about the time when once I got old enough to have a vehicle, my first car had a very loud, deep horn. And by this time, Grandpa's vision was pretty bad and he couldn't see very well at all. But he would recognize that horn as my car. And I mean, he would start waving and carrying on, and it was, I mean, he was religious about it too, as far as it could be 20 degrees outside and he'd be out there all bundled up.
Out there waving at you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll try to tell a little bit more about our grandparents and tell their story. Before we do that though, I think we need to go back and tell their story that was last written about them. And, it's kind of a sad story, but it's also a story that tells kind of what their life was like and what they did and the children that they had. And kind of we'll read their obituaries to start this out. And I hate to start it out sad, but I'm sure we'll end up laughing before it's all over with. So we're Jordans, and we all got a sense of humor, I believe, and laugh about the craziest things. So we'll go ahead and start off our podcast and read their obituary. Then we'll dig a little deeper into our grandparents.
Sounds good.
Everett Lewis Jordan, 95, was born January 6, 1900, died September 28th, 1995 at home. Carrie Marie Jordan, 93, was born October 7, 1904, and died November 14, 1997. They were married 73 years. Everett was a former employee of the Marietta Manufacturing Company and a farmer. He also was retired from the West Virginia State Department of Natural Resources. Carrie was a homemaker, and both were members of the Gospel Tabernacle Church. He was son of John and Mary Margaret Wooten Jordan, and she was daughter of James and Nancy Lanier Dye. They were preceded in death by a daughter, Ruby Razor. Survivors include five daughters, Beulah Bechtel, Helen Myers, Reba Markham, Jewel Durst, Phyllis Bonecutter. Seven sons, Harry, Ralph, John, Don, James, Larry, and Wilbur Jordan. They had 29 grandchildren, 37 great-grandchildren, 6 great-great-grandchildren. They were both laid to rest at Zion Baptist Cemetery. Thank you.
Well, that last story in no way told what a life they lived. The old saying about the dash between the birth and death is what we will try to tell now. 90 plus years of stories may take us more than one episode to tell. And Keith, 13 kids. What was Grandma and Grandpa all thinking?
Man, what were they thinking?
Yeah, so I'm sure Grandpa wanted some farm helpers, I assume. But, but I think when you get into our next segment, I think we'll tell kind of how hard of a life it probably was trying to raise 13 kids.
Yeah.
And sadly, they lost our Aunt Ruby at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
But as parents goes, they had 12 at their passing. That still had to be a blessing from God to have that many kids still alive that they outlived, you know.
Exactly.
I think that would have been horrible. But and how many great-grand and great-grandkids they had. And I'm sure that it's too numerous to count right now how many we've had since they passed. So.
Right.
And our family's still growing. Well, let's try to go back in time now to January of 1900. The year Grandpa was born. What can you tell us about those days?
Well, I think one thing that kind of gives us a little perspective on how difficult things could be for a family with 13 children would be to just simply examine the price of items. You know, we've heard how dresses were made out of bag materials and that sort of thing. There's a reason for that happening. In 1900, the average yearly wages was around $400 to $450. The cost of clothing could quickly add up. A dress, one single simple dress, could cost between $10 and $12. So, you know, if you stop and think about that, with that many kids, that adds up real fast.
Oh, real fast.
I mean, when you're only talking about $400 to $450 as your total yearly income.
Yeah, it'd been real hard.
Right. Men's dress shirt was $1, and shoes were typically between $2 and $3 a pair. Now, it makes sense that if you had land and a large family to grow and raise as much food as possible, it just makes sense. Common food items that your average Appalachian family would raise or grow includes eggs, which was 21 cents a dozen, milk, 14 cents a half gallon, butter was 26 cents a pound, steak and bacon was between 13 and 15 cents a pound. Now, those don't seem all that expensive, but let's keep in mind, a large family eats, you know, several meals a day, more than one, and it gets pretty expensive pretty quick. And again, I'm talking $400 to $450 a year. Now,
that's a year, yeah. Wow.
Right. Now, there are some items that were considered luxury items. Items like coffee would cost 35 cents a pound, and a small container of tea would approach $1.
Wow.
So, one could imagine, I'm thinking it's probably because of the shipping, you know, you had to ship it from all over and it was just cost more because it's coming from a greater distance. But one could imagine that the vast majority of Appalachian families didn't get tea or coffee very often. And I know it was advantageous for our family to raise chickens, pigs, and have cows because, you know, it just made sense. Furthermore, when you raise your own corn, potatoes, green beans, tomatoes, strawberries, it's a huge help to the family budget as extras of these items could be sold or bartered. Additionally, apples and other fruits, which could be grown and turned into jelly or made into pies. You know, we Jordans like our pie.
Oh, yes, we do. And we've had some pretty good pie makers in our family over the years. I just want to add real quick a few things about their first 10 years of their life, some of the things they experienced. One was President McKinley's assassination, Teddy Roosevelt becoming president, horses were more popular than cars,
It wasn't until 1908 when the first Model T appeared on the market. The first Rose Bowl and the first Baseball World Series was in 1903. The Panama Canal, J.P. Morgan's U.S. Steel Company, and so many other changes for modernization was happening, and they were witnessing it all. And as our podcast goes along, we will try and see what all they did see. So we're going to wrap this episode one up with that. In our next episode, we will begin their teen years and the early passing of Grandpa's mom. Plus, we will have some interviews of some family who remember all those stories. So thanks again for tuning in. This is Danny Bonecutter and Keith Durst, and stay tuned for more to come on the Jordan Family Podcast.